You're listening to James H. for Life, Episode 6, How Life Insurance Can Reasonably Help Pay for College. Hi, and thanks for tuning in today. You're listening to James H. for Life, and today I've got an interesting topic for us to go over. For those of you out there who are parents of young children, and I'm thinking children ages maybe 3 years old and under, I'm sure it's probably crossed your mind at least once so far of your child's future, and oh my goodness, we want our child to be able to go to college and have a great opportunity at making a successful career for themselves. How in the world are we going to pay for that? And today we're actually going to discuss a less known way that can actually be very advantageous for parents in order for them to afford college education, or at the very least, help them to pay for part or all of their child's schooling. So let's get right into it. A lot of people don't know that you can actually utilize a life insurance policy to help pay for college education. And here's the primary advantage of this. See, when you're going to fill out FAFSA forms, you know, your federal financial aid and all that stuff, you have to put down your own financial information as the parent, because there's this thing called your expected family contribution. And what that is that's the amount that, at least on paper, says, well, you make this much money per year as a household, so you should be able to pay X amount of dollars towards your child's education. And they've got their, you know, they look at your debt to income ratio and your income and all these different factors, and then they come up with a number, and then based off of that number will determine how much financial aid you're eligible for. And when people are going out and planning about this, the initial thought is, okay, so we're going to need some more money. Why don't we invest it? And that's a good idea. So the typical plan would be, let's open up a 529 college savings plan or a Coverdell educational savings account, both of which are great tools. So please, I'm not proposing in this podcast, I don't want there to be the misconception that the Coverdell or the 529 are horrible options. I don't want to suggest that at all. In fact, there can be situations, I would think, that using the strategy I'm going to propose today along with maybe a 529 would be appropriate. It all depends on the makeup of the situation. However, when you go to fulfill your FAFSA application, one of the things that they want to take into account are your assets, and your 529s and your Coverdells, they count against you as far as what you will be eligible for in loan assistance. So they count against you as far as your expected family contribution, or your EFC, as I'll refer to it moving forward. So here's why that's important. For those families that are definitely middle class, maybe you have a household combined income of, let's just say, between $100,000 and $150,000 a year. I mean, let's just say mom and dad, you're making good money. It's not like you have a bad job, but you're also not rich either. You still have to run the day-to-day households. You have to save for your own retirement, all those different things. The benefit here is, well, I should say the disadvantage here is you can save with the 529s and stuff, and yes, they will work. They will accrue, you know, over the years, up and down, so on and so forth. Okay, they're a good plan to use. However, if you need more help with aid, they count against you, which can just make things a little bit tighter as you go down the road. I mean, not to say that that makes life impossible, you know, but it eliminates at least one avenue of potential income to get your kid through school. Now, one thing that does not count against you is the cash value that is built up in a life insurance policy. Now, the life insurance policy doesn't matter if it's an indexed universal life, a variable life, or a variable universal life, or whole life, really doesn't matter. As long as it's a permanent policy that actually accrues cash value, then you can, you know, theoretically use that later down the line in order to help pay for college via direct withdrawals or loans or however, you know, you structure that. But you can take that money and use it. Now, this can be a great strategy if you can really build up the cash value amount in the account. In order to do that, whole life is not going to be an option here because by design, whole life insurance is not going to be able to capitalize on the ability to increase cash value, increase that value in that account within the policy. So the three types of policies you're primarily going to want to focus here will be an indexed universal life, variable universal life, and a variable life policy. Now, they all depend, you know, they have their own like certain structures to them and ins and outs. I'm not getting into the nuances of the policies here. Suffice it to say that these are the policies that when you pay into them have the greatest capacity to increase your cash value amount. None of it's a guarantee, just like with anything else, but I'm just telling you that, you know, that's the greatest capacity is within those three types of policies. So why would you want to do this? Well, here you go. Picture this. Your child is now 18 years old, starting to fill out all the college applications, got applied, you got approved to XYZ University, and it's a $30,000 to $40,000 a year bill just for tuition. You got to figure out a way you're going to come up with that. Well, one way is through financial aid, and one way to help your eligibility for your financial aid is by not having too many assets on hand that can count against you, one of which is the 529 plan, the other is a Coverdell. There's others, I'm sure, but just for the purpose of our conversation, we'll focus there for a moment since we're already thinking on, okay, what would be the best methodology perhaps in your situation for setting your child up for the best chance at college, to pay for it and afford it, so on and so forth. So with that, you're filling out the application and all that jazz, and you know, you're that middle income. So maybe you were able to put some money away to help pay for college, but not a whole heck of a lot. But you have that life insurance policy. And over the years that you were putting money into that policy, let's just say the cash value grew to 40 or 50 or 60,000, depending on what you're able to put in. Could be more, could be less. but now you've got that money. So you have this stockpile of, say, 50 grand that you can use. That's 25%, a little bit more than, say, 25% of your child's education is paid for using the life insurance policy, and it doesn't count against you with your financial aid. So you didn't infringe on your eligibility for FAFSA, yet you also were able to take care of and put money away so that there is liquid money available to help pay for college. That is what makes this particular strategy sing. Now, if you're in an income bracket where you're just making $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 a year and more, you may or may not necessarily need to consider this. I mean, because to be perfectly frank, I mean, you probably shouldn't be taking loans out at that point if you're making that kind of income. If you are, there, I would hope, would be some form of sophistication in your strategy. Otherwise, you really don't need to. You got the liquid cash, so what do you care? You know, do the 529 or the whatever and just be done with it, or just write a personal check. However, for those who are in that lower, you know, lower to mid-income bracket, this is a great strategy because you know that you're probably going to need help later on, and you don't want to infringe on your eligibility for help later on. So by utilizing a life insurance policy, you can gain the money that you can use later for that, and you can also maintain you know, your eligibility status. So it's almost like killing two birds with one stone. Now, you might be sitting here thinking, well, this just sounds too good to be true. How can I kill two birds with one stone? How can I have my cake and eat it too? And That's actually a really good question. We're going to address that when we come back from the break here in just a couple of moments. But stay tuned because I am going to address that and things that you should consider before moving forward with this strategy. You're listening to James H. for Life. Hey guys, welcome back. You're listening to James H. for Life, and today we're discussing how we can use a life insurance policy to help pay for college. So before the break, we were discussing how you can use a permanent life insurance policy that builds cash value to help stockpile money that you can use later on in life to help fund your child's education. We also discussed how the three primary types of policies you probably want to focus on for this purpose would be an indexed universal life, a variable life insurance policy, and a universal life insurance policy. And by utilizing these policies, you have the greatest propensity for increasing your cash value in the account. And the reason why you want to do this is because FAFSA does not count at this current time, and not on the foreseeable future either, cash value as an asset to go against your eligibility for loan assistance. So what does that mean? That means you can save up money in a life insurance policy that you can later use to help pay for college without it hurting how much you can borrow via FAFSA. So it's a great strategy, especially for those middle-income families that maybe they have a combined household income of, I'm going to say, between $100,000 and $150,000, could be a little less or a little more, depending on your circumstances, who could reasonably put that money away, number one, so that you can have, you know, some money liquid per month that you can spare to put into savings, to put into an account, to actually make it do what you need it to do for the future. But you're also not making so much money that, well, we really don't need to have this conversation because you're making the money where you could probably write a personal check anyway, and you don't have to worry about taking loans out. So with that, let's get into then, well, what aren't you telling me? And that would naturally be, if I was listening to this, I would say, well, this sounds way too good to be true. You know, how can I kill two birds with one stone? No downside, no nothing. Well, let's get into that a little bit. So number one, here's the biggest thing that you need to keep in mind when, as you're utilizing this strategy. So should you go down this road, you want to keep in mind, and this is for future thought, not something in the immediate, you want to keep in mind the tax consequences for when you start taking that money out. So when you take money out of a life insurance policy, out of that cash value account that we were talking about, there's two ways that you can take it out, either withdrawals or loans. And the way that you would want to work that is you would want to withdraw all of what's called your cost basis. That is essentially all of the money that you put into the policy yourself. It's just your money flat out came out of your pocket. It's after tax money. And that's kind of like, there's your baseline. So let's just say you paid $1,000 into the policy per year. You do that for 30 years, your cost basis is going to be $30,000 in that cash value. So long and short, that's how that works. The other way that you can withdraw money is via a loan. And a loan is a non-taxable loan as far as an income standpoint. So you're not going to get hit with income tax by taking this loan out as long as the policy stays in force. So that's the other way. And so, sometimes people will use a combination of the two, or sometimes you might use one or the other. It really depends on your circumstances. But the purpose for you knowing that is this: moving forward, when that day comes and you start taking that money out, you want to know what you could and could not get taxed on. And so you really want to speak with your advisor, both your financial advisor, life insurance advisor, and tax consultant, your tax advisor, on, okay, I'm pulling this money out, we're using it, you know, for what we purposed it for from the very beginning. What's the best way, the most tax advantaged way that I can you know, make use of this money. Now, when you're using it, this is a disadvantage of this particular strategy versus, say, a 529 plan, because the 529 plans, when you take that money and you use it specifically for higher education purposes, it's generally tax-free because that's how that vehicle was specifically designed to be used. So, you know, that is a limitation of this. However, it's really not overly crucial, in my opinion, unless you're maybe in such a income bracket situation that by taking any additional money out and having that count against you as income could mess you up. So that's a whole nother conversation. That's a case by case scenario, but suffice it to say that that's one particular disadvantage. So you want to be mindful of how you're taking the money out, not just how much, but the methodology as well. And that's something you go over with your advisor. The other thing is, that's really the drawback, really. The only main, like, financial consequence to worry about. And your advisor will manage the policy with you and all that jazz. However, what are some other advantages, per se? Because, as naturally, FAFSA can't be the only advantage. If that was the only advantage, I wouldn't be talking about it, because that, to me, I mean, yeah, it has weight, but, if I'm going to bring something good to you guys, I want there to be a multifaceted reason for purchasing, you know, a policy, just to make sure you're getting the biggest bang for your buck out of it. So let's consider this for a moment. Let's just say, well, what if I don't use that money? Because that's always a big fear with people. What if I don't use the money? Well, the great thing is, in that situation, if you don't use the money, you're still using the money. What I mean by that is you purchased permanent life insurance. So let's just say you bought $500,000 life insurance policy, right? Let's just say it was a permanent policy and, you know, you're paying into it all these years. And then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, your kid decides not to go to college for whatever reason. Or maybe they just killed it with the scholarships and they don't even need the help. And so you're sitting there like, well, we bought this policy and put all this money into it, so now what? So what you can do is, number one, you have permanent insurance. So as long as you keep putting the money into it the way that you need to, there's a pretty good chance you can have permanent insurance the rest of your life and use that as a means of leaving a legacy to your children. What I mean is, let's go back to that $500,000 policy that you purchased when your kids were very, very young. Well, you can maintain that policy if you want, you know, all the way until the day that you die. And then your children are getting $500,000, like right off the bat, inheritance. And depending on how you've paid into it and what's going on with the policy, there's the potential you could prepay it and have it paid in full by a particular age. You don't have to put any more money into it. Again, that's something you go over with your life insurance advisor so they can run you illustrations and really pick it apart. But there's that possibility. That's option number one. So you can use it to leave a legacy. Option number two, you could just surrender it. You could go on, take the money and run. You know that song. That's what I always think about. You know, go on, take the money and run, and just, you know, do with it whatever you want. Go on a vacation, put a down payment on a house, or finish paying off your house, or whatever. I mean, you could take that money and do something with it. So the cash is yours. Remember from, you know, a little while ago, remember the tax consequences. So before you do anything rash, talk it over with a professional and make sure that you're not going to regret that decision come tax time. So there's that. So anyway, moving on, another advantage. You could go on, take that money, but rather than running, you could reinvest it into an IRA or Roth IRA. Why would that make sense? Well, let's just say for a moment that part of your long-term goal is you really don't care if you have a bunch of money in life insurance and stuff like that. That's just not part of your plan. You're not looking to have giant life insurance policies that you'll have the rest of your life. You just want to be covered until, say, retirement age, let's say. Okay, fine. You could take that money, pull it out, reinvest it into another, you know, investment vehicle that is specifically designed for performance, and it doesn't have all of the fees that a life insurance policy can have attached to it for administrative purposes, cost of insurance, things like that. So there's that advantage right there that you should probably consider if that's part of your plan. I'm not saying that's what you should do, but that's why you need to have a plan. So that's another avenue that you can go with it. And then finally, the last advantage would be you purchase life insurance regardless. So in the event that you die before your children reach college, the death benefit's paying out. So you have security immediately to help fund their college education. And you have flexibility later in the event that the money isn't used. And you have provision if the money is used. That's when I would recommend a life insurance policy to help fund college education. You've got 10, 15, 20 years to let the money cook, and you're not the super rich, you're not in the top 1%, so you're not making $500,000 a year and you could just write the university a personal check, but you're also not at the bottom of the income, you know, ladder either, and you have some money that you could set aside every single month to go towards something like that. Now, this is not a one-size-fits-all type of strategy. You know, we definitely want to make sure that this is a strategy that would work specific to your family and your situation. So I would highly encourage you to speak to a professional and have them really just take a look like, okay, would this make the most sense for you? And make sure they can explain why it would make sense to you, not just, oh, well, here, buy this policy. But yeah, that's a great idea. Don't let them do that. Make them have to explain why it's a sound strategy. And make sure that you have opportunity to ask questions and really understand why you're buying that policy and why you're going about it in that particular way. And again, as I said in the beginning, don't discount a 529 plan or a Coverdell savings plan. Don't kick them out the door. And I'm not saying they're bad. This is just a different strategy, a different perspective that can work for a lot of people. Well, listen, everyone, I really thank you for just taking the time to tune in today. This was definitely a little bit of a longer podcast compared to my others so far, but I had a lot of information I wanted to make sure I shared with you. If you have any requests on a podcast in the realm of life insurance, disability insurance, or long-term care insurance, please, I encourage you to email me at jameshforlife@gmail.com. Or you can also contact me if you'd like some more information on a policy for yourself or to further discuss life insurance, disability, or long-term care for you and your family. Again, please feel free to reach out to me at jameshforlife@gmail.com. Or if you're on my blog site at jameshforlife.com, please fill out the form that's attached to this blog post, and I would be happy to contact you or have one of my agents contact you, and we'll have a full discussion, you know, to make sure that we set you in the best situation possible. Again, this is James H. for Life. Thanks for tuning in, and have a blessed day.